a moment of choice here this morning. And I do want to preach about hope. If you've been down to the ocean and enjoyed it so much that you want to capture it and you take a handful, and as you hold it, it kind of like disappears. And sometimes we can lose a moment, and I think there were moments here in the meeting already where God wants to occupy, and not just a handful, that we can take away more than a handful. So I'm sure you've heard the statement, the morning after the night before. And if you live close enough to that statement, you'll remember it sounds more like a hangover, the morning after the night before. And I'm sure in the hangover, there would be a lingering emotion of regret, which you never quite knew what had happened. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Or you're so far behind you, you don't even think about those days anymore. But there may not have ever been those days, and it doesn't matter. So you come to the end of a year. You come to the end of a year, and you ask yourself the question, and make the statement, the year after the year before. Because we're standing in a new year, and what was the year after the year before? This year after the year before. And I think for a lot of people, we may actually stand here today or sit here and think to ourselves, what did my year hold? What was it full of? And then you ask, what about the new year? And I'm sure every single one of us would say, a better one. That's what I want. I know we make those resolutions, and I'm not going to talk about resolutions, and I know that you're hoping I don't. You've already broken them all if you did make any. But the joy is this. The joy is this, that we can have a better year. But it's not going to be without Jesus. It's not going to be without Yahweh. The breath in your lungs, the breath in your spirit, the breath of the name of your God. So, have you ever heard the song? And I'm sure you have, if you're old enough. If you're around my age, you would definitely have heard it. And the song goes like this. So this is Christmas. What have you done? Another year over and a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas. I hope you had fun. The near and the dear one, the old and the young. A merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear. You know who sang a song? Do you know? You don't know? Tell you? I will tell you. John Lennon. No, who's John Lennon? My goodness. Now we're really digging deep. One of the Beatles. Anyway, John Lennon was the guy who wrote the song. And he's now passed. He's now, since 1980, so he's way gone out of this. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear. And maybe that's kind of a title, but I really wanted to make the title Hope Without Fear. But I really believe that hope is in His name. Hope is in His name, and that's really what I want to speak about. So we've transitioned into a new year, and you're probably hoping that I don't speak about New Year's resolutions. So cross that one out. I'm not going to. Maybe you are thinking about some things that need a change in your life, and maybe you are thinking of having a good one. How do you guarantee a good one? How do you guarantee, how do you put a mark on next this year? We're already 4 days into the year. Has anything changed? Anything changed? You're 4 days older. That's about it. Maybe you have a wrinkle or two more. That's fine. So I want to start with a little bit of a word study this morning, and you'll forgive me for analyzing words, because I love words, and words have a lot of meaning if you begin to allow them to shape some of the way you think. And the word is, the first word I want to start with is despair. And the word is broken up in two parts. The one is D-E, which means without, and the P-A-I-R, which actually means breath. Without breath, despair, without breath. To lose all hope. That's really what it means. If you actually look at despair in its real, true meaning, it has no hope. There's no hope in despair. It's like you've come to the end of you, you've come to the end of something, you've come to the end of everything that you have and know, and there is no hope. Then I'll add to the word pair. Excuse me, just let me get into the center, yeah? It's not my OCD. I just want to be able to eye these people on the side as well. The other word is impair. And the word impair is also I-M-P-A-I-R, which is to make worse. So I'm sure you wouldn't want your year to be worse, to have less hope or less breath. And then there's the word of repair, which is to mend or to restore, to put back in order, and it brings back hope to some degree. It brings back your breath to repair, to fix up. And I'm sure there's an element of fixing something up in our hearts today as we start off. And there is an old English word that hasn't been used since the 16th century, so it's really old. And I wasn't born in that year, so I don't know why they stopped using it. But we're no longer using that word. And the word is called respair, R-E-spair, respair. And it means fresh hope. Fresh hope. So it is my prayer this morning that we will find respair. In spite of our despair, in spite of having the need to repair, that we will find respair. That we will learn to breathe again and to breathe in the fullness of what God is and who God is. Because that element or that lifestyle is something that often is missing in our lives. Often. Because we get so despaired. We are so breathless. It reminds me of deep diving. I've never been deep diving, but it reminds me of deep diving. And there's a secret about deep diving when you come up out of the deep dive, and it's called decompression. So this morning is a decompression, if you like. A decompression. In other words, you have to climb out of this despair. And I'm not suggesting that all of you are fretting, you're actually downcast with despair. But there may be an element of a small despair, something that you would have or could have done better or found better. And now you've lost the opportunity because the year is over. And you'll make a New Year's resolution and say, I am going to improve on that aspect. You need to decompress if you really want to breathe again. Breathe again. And that word respair is really about that fresh hope. Fresh hope, a complete recovery after any period of despair. That's what respair means. So let's revive the word in our lives. Let's revive it and make it part of the way we live and the way we think and the way we move. But let me give you two scriptures, and I think it's important scriptures because it actually just ties us into a place where we start, because we do not start without the Word of God. Somewhere along the line, we need to hear from God. And I really believe, in fact, while I was still on holiday, I thought, what am I going to speak about in the new year? And I think, well, you know, this is a whole 2 months away. And the word was hope. Hope. Breath, respair. That's really what it means, to hope again, fresh hope. Hope. So let's turn to Romans 15, verse 13. Sorry, we put our young man in the corner here, but the cable is bust. Okay. We We've got another cable and it's working. All right, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of his Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. There's another scripture in 1 Peter 1:3. It says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So there must be a difference between the hope that we understand and the hope that is in God. A hope that we have centered in the Lord Jesus, centered in the very salvation of our lives, centered in the fact that he is our God, that he is our King, that he actually owns every room. Right. So we find ourselves in that place, and maybe we have some responses about why it wasn't so good. And one of our first responses, well, get over it. Get over your last year. It's done. Write it off, cross it out, no problem, leave it alone. But the problem is it drags along with us. It's a trail, a baggage that we carry into our new year. And then we try our own tricks. We even lie to ourselves. It wasn't so bad. I will improve. I'll get by. I'll make it. Or another dose of medication might help. You know, another pull. And there's always another pull for whatever we need. Or a new diet or exercise routine. And I said I wouldn't talk about resolution, so cross that out. Or self-diagnose, like, I need another holiday. I've just had one, but I need another one. It's just like not enough. We try and build it up with a holiday and hope that the feeling will come right and go away. The worst offering is Google. Don't go to Google and ask Google, what can I do about this Happy New Year? You'll get various answers, all of which may be good options. All of the above could be good options. But hope without fear doesn't come in the model that we believe hope exists for. The hope we have is actually something a lot more secure in God than we can even dream of. In the way of the world. The way of the world says, I hope it's going to be better. And in fact, most of the hope that we have in a natural sense will be a 50-50 opportunity. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I hope it rains tomorrow. Any ideas? Do you hope? I don't think so. So there's always a negative expectation with the kind of hope that the world offers to you. That kind of hope, the hope it may be better, but it possibly won't. Or if you know about the weather and you have studied the weather and you watch the clouds, well, it's possible that it could rain. But it's still just a hope until tomorrow happens. The spiritual hope, the hope that we're talking about, by definition, the Bible gives us answers to the hope that we can secure in God. Number one, it's a confident expectation. A confident expectation. You need to write that in your thinking. It's a confident expectation. It's not maybe, it is going to happen. So that's the kind of hope that we believe and trust God for, and that we are supposedly rooted in the living hope, that we abound in this hope, the two scriptures that we've just read, that we find ourselves in that place that we can actually absorb that into our spirit, that we have a living hope. Confident expectation. Every promise that God has given to us has a certainty about it. God does not doubt his promises, and he's given them all to us, all of them in Christ Jesus, to be fulfilled in all its beauty and glory. But you say, but... stop that now, immediately. But so really we go and we switch into the possibility that it won't happen. But that is not our hope. The hope that we have in God will complete. And you will argue with me, in 6 months' time and say it didn't happen. But find ourselves, find our heart being torn or brought back to the place again and again and again. Hope in God. Let Him fill the room. Thank you for that word. Sure. Thank you. Let Him fill every room. Remember the story of the issue of blood, the woman with the issue of blood. You know what the story is. She had spent all her living in the hope that she would be healed. But one touch from Jesus, one touch on His garment, and she walked away whole. You remember the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, 5 husbands. Think about the despair of having 5 husbands, past tense. All the baggage that comes with that, maybe children that came with that. I don't know her life. There's not much more of the story than that. But think about the despair. And then Jesus says to her, I'm going to give you water and you'll never have to come back to this well again. Not for the water that you're looking for. Yes, I want that water. Hope. I want that water. And you know the story, the outcome of her story. What about the adulteress that was caught in the act of adultery? The law demanded her death. That she should have been stoned. Brought her to Jesus. Good way to go about it. Brought her to Jesus. And Jesus said to her, after He had told the story, that all of you are sinners. Anyone of you want to cast the first stone? And maybe this morning you're thinking, you're really throwing a lot of stones at us, because these are kind of like stuff that we don't deal with mostly. Who would cast the first stone? And the answer, hope. Jesus, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So for every one of those stories, and they're all woman stories, are they not? So you think, well, that's a little bit biased. Only our ladies have problems. Okay. We don't want to go there. The Bible is full of men's stories too. Lots of them. Now, I don't want to have to track you through story after story after story, but every single story of redemption comes with a hope that only God could have given them, that only God could have given them, that only God could have changed and set right. So there are big stories, the Abrahams, the Isaacs, the Jacob, the Gideons, the prophets, the psalm writers, especially David, how often he would use the word hope. My hope is in you. My hope is in you. I've got a lot of problems, but my hope is in you. And he was talking about the very hope that I'm speaking of today. My hope is in you. And keep saying that to yourself over and over again. My hope is in you. Joshua, Caleb, David fighting giants. Hope in you. Was David strong enough to kill Goliath? No, but my hope, I come to you in the name of the Lord that you have challenged. My hope is in Him. Every fight that he had to fight, he fought with the hope of the knowledge of who his God was. And I want you to stand up in your spirit today and say that. I want that to be my hope for this year. I'm looking for a platform to build on into this year, and this is my platform. Hope, fresh hope, despair, that God will restore something of a hope in our hearts that we know and believe that our God is bigger, stronger, more powerful. Does it always happen the way we want it to go? Let me tell you something. If we think on earthly terms, no, it doesn't always work that way. But our hope is an eternal hope, that there's something of a victory that we find here that brings us out in eternity, that we can bow before the one who is hope of an eternal life, our hope. On and on the stories go, our hope, our hope. But there's something about the hope that we have in God. And the hope is very clearly this. There's an element of waiting. And the strange thing about the Hebrew text in which many of these scriptures have been written, the word hope and the word wait is sometimes interchangeably used. Hope and wait. Wait and hope. But wait not in the sense of an evil expectation of it not happening, but a waiting of something will happen, even if it is in the heavenlies, and even if we don't see the result in an earthly way, we will still have hope to know that our hope has been fulfilled in our God. Because somewhere along the line, we are not redeemed just to sit on a chair. We are redeemed to make a difference, to be a light in the world, to be a light that shines in the darkness. That even though others may look hopeless, and it's horrible to be called hopeless, if you think about it, how many of you like to be called hopeless? All right. 100%, none of us. I'm sure our dads said it to us a few times, or maybe a few of our dads would have said it. You're hopeless? You heard the words. Anyway, we don't have to go there and stay there. But while we're waiting, we are building fortitude, strength. We are building courage. We are building grit in our spirits. We're building tenacity. We're building resilience. We're building resolve. We're building determination. All of which just goes to strengthen the power of the hope that is in us. God does not give you strength so that you will be strong. He gives you strength that you know who your strength is. That's why He gives you strength. He gives you courage, not that you can walk around and say, I'm full of courage, I'll take on the world. You're never meant to be that. Never meant to be that. So don't take it upon yourself. So don't be surprised at the reality that you need to wait a little in the presence of the Lord. To wait on the Lord. To allow God to bring forth in you that which He is determined. None of us are like God. None of us. We cannot be, even if we tried. But we are becoming. We are always in a becoming space. Becoming. That once we will stand, there will be a day that we stand before Him. My son, you bear my likeness. Oh, I cannot think of that a treasure more dear and special to my heart. That He would call you a son like me. Just like me. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Many scriptures. Sorry, I'm not going to go through all of those scriptures, but just maybe one or two of them. You don't even have to flash them up. They're very quick. Psalm 39, verse 7. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? Wait. Remember the word. My hope is in you. Psalm 62. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. In Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in His word, I hope. Psalm 31, verse 24, be strong and let your heart take courage. All you who wait, hope in the Lord. Wait, wait. Be patient in your suffering. Be patient in the things that you're struggling with. Be patient in the knowledge that God is in control, not you. Amen. My last scripture here, just quickly, Galatians 5, verse 5, that through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait, oh my goodness, for the hope of righteousness. Time and again, the two words interlocked interchangeably there. So this morning, I'm going to close. Was that a short preach? It's okay. It's good. Let me say this. We have most of us here today, if not all of us, I could actually say all of you, have battle scars of despair. Somewhere along the line, you've had despair, whatever it was, your marriage, your finance, your job, your husband, your wife, your kids. Somewhere you have a form of despair, even in your own body. You go to the doctor and it's, we're going to have to try and fix this. Despair, battle scars, many of them. Anxiety is a very much a paired word with despair. Anxiety, they go together. But your despair is actually an anxiety that cannot be resolved. Cannot be resolved. Let me say this to all of you. Actually, I did a wedding last week, just by the way. And in the wedding, I said to them, Jesus is always going to be everything you need. I want to say the same thing to you. Jesus will always be everything you need. Everything. Can't you know, take away the name of the church, you can add a new name, you can change things, but Jesus will always be everything you need. We started singing this song, Jesus. There's a new song, thank you, Bobby, you know, to the psalm writer called Jeduthun, you know, I want you to write the song. Okay, you didn't write the song, but you sang it this morning, new song, Jesus, the one, the Holy One. The one that we worship. It's not a play game. It's not a thing that we just along the way, oh, good worship service. What do you mean, good worship service? I found him. I saw the Lord. I felt him. I knew him. Jesus will always be everything you need. Our anxiety and our despair will always be our default. It'll be there. It's part of human beings. It's part of our lives. Part of the fall. Part of the fact that we're sinners. We lost something. We lost something of our breath. The very breath that God breathed into us. His presence. Who he was. We chose another way. We're as guilty as Adam. We're as guilty as Eve. I don't know who you want to blame the most. Probably the woman. Okay. You can leave it at that. You know it's not true. Despair and anxiety will always be the human default, but until we find hope, until Jesus is enough, until Jesus is enough for you, you will never find hope in anything else. Jesus has to be enough. So let me close with this. I don't have to say more. I don't have to exaggerate or try and amplify the very things that I have said. But you know what I'm saying. How many of you are there? Like, amen, come on. Just put up your hand or just open up your heart and say, come on. Are you with me? You're with me. You got it. Our hope is not in the hope is not in the world. Even if you had more money, you're just going to spend it. And the end of your next this year, this new year, you will be despaired. You will be despaired. And you will listen to this message again, and you will need to be respaired. And once again, you can find fresh hope. Because every year does bring, there's something about the new year that actually brings us into a place where we can find new, fresh hope. It does. Even if you qualify it by a resolution, I'm going to have a better year. But let me qualify it by Jesus. Let me qualify it by the presence of your God, the love of your God. And we can start off, that's our starting point, the love of God. We are loved by God, each one of us as we sit here today. Whether you're a good or bad one. Some of you don't think, no, that doesn't fit any one of us. We're all good. All right. You know what I'm saying, guys. Just this morning. Maybe just bow your head and say, Lord, I want to breathe again. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder to open the door to you. Thank you for that reminder that I could come into your presence and be known by your name. Be known by your name. that you're not foreign to us, that we are known by your name. We're not foreign to you. You have called us by name, everyone. So I'm asking you,